This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han. The People's Bank of China surprised markets late on Tuesday by cutting the amount banks must keep on reserve on it's known as the reserve requirement ratio. This announcement came just hours after data showed that China grew at a 6.8% rate for the third straight quarter, topping analyst expectations. Joining us from Singapore this morning is Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff. I want to begin with this issue of China. Is this move by the PBOC about addressing concerns over the levels of debt in the financial system?
Well, possibly, because there have been reports last night that have aggregated all the debt of the US, Japan and China. And obviously they're going to have an account for much of the world's debt because they also account for much of the world's growth. So your question is very relevant in that, you know, how much of this growth is going to be spurred by debt. I think more importantly, it's part of a bigger policy that the PBOC are following, and that's to have a very stable and neutral monetary policy at this moment in time, and at the same time be able to have a stable amount of liquidity in the financial system.
Hi, Jeff. Joyce here. Does the PBOC's move raise any concerns over the true health of the Chinese economy? Basically, what's your read on the move?
No, I think the Chinese economy has been quite strong. I mean, last year we had an uptick in growth, which was a standout for recent years. So I do believe the Chinese economy, like all economies across the world, have a cautious tone. While most of the central banks across the world are tightening, the majority are in a tightening phase, there is a very strong fundamental tone that everyone remains cautious in that we've had a cyclical upturn last year, but we need to see more sustained growth in broader segments of the global economy throughout 2018.
Hey, Jeff, it's Han here. So look, China is certainly weighing on the U.S. Federal Reserve's outlook, given the threat of tariffs leading up to a full-blown trade war. What are some of your big takeaways from the Fed's latest beige book?
Okay, well, that's really, it's very similar. It had a very similar tone to many of the reports we're seeing across the world in the last couple of weeks. We saw the MAS, released its report on Friday, and they noted that, you know, any escalation of the U.S.-China trade developments, can have a significant consequence for global trade and all the trade-related growth, which was so strong last year. And that note was reverberated very much last night in the U.S. Fed beige book. I think they mentioned the word tariffs in that book. The word tariffs was mentioned in that book between 30 and 40 times. In particular, the beige book noted that business owners were highly concerned with price rises for metals on the back of the decision to place those penalties on the steel and aluminium imports. And there were also concerns about the prospect of future tariffs on Chinese imports in the various segments like toys, transportation and agriculture.
Now, Jeff, you're in Singapore. You look very much exposed to what happens externally. So if the Fed is concerned about these trade developments, as you pointed out, you know, will these concerns feed into other economies as well, such as Singapore, Malaysia, the rest of Asia?
Oh, totally. I mean, this is a global concern. Obviously, anything to do with trade, and all the numbers are out now for a global trade for 2017. As we've seen the response in some of the discussions that have been following on in the U.S., I think. You know, when we look at all the numbers, total world trade last year was $33 trillion. That's made up of around $16 trillion of exports, $16 trillion of imports. And a lot of that is related to China. I think China exported $2.4 trillion U.S. dollars of exports last year with $1.8 trillion in imports. So that balance of trade, obviously, it's getting addressed at the moment. And it is such a big part of global trade that it affects all markets. But nonetheless, as you know, Singapore's very export-orientated. It has been one of the strongest indices in the world so far as well in the year, in the 2018 year to date. When you look at the STI as of the close yesterday, it had actually generated a 5% dividend inclusive return. So KLCI and STI both are amongst the strongest indices in the year to date. It compares to an average decline of around 1 to 1.5% for the benchmarks of other major financial centres such as Hong Kong, Japan and Australia. We can see the Dow's down 1% and the MSCI Asia Pacific index is also down around 1%. So nonetheless, our markets here have been doing comparatively well. Obviously, in Malaysia, you have the large domestic economy, which has been providing a good boost. And here in Singapore, we're looking to see that some of the segments that were a little bit more laggard last year can actually catch up as well, such as financial and business services sectors, which should benefit from some of the local regional pickup in growth. And those, like I said, those weaker segments of 2017, like construction, and for us in Singapore, the domestic orientated services, they are expected to show some improvements as well, with some upturn in our private consumption.
Hi, Jeff. Last Friday, the Monetary Authority of Singapore tightened a policy for the first time in 6 years, signalling confidence in the economy. Do you share that rosy outlook for Singapore's growth?
That's a good question. And the short answer is yes. Most of the street has basically published a number of outlooks and responses since last Friday, and they have very much been aligned with the MAS outlook. So when you look at the essential outlook they had, it was for a steady economic expansion for the remaining 8 or so months of the year, and they expected global final demand to stay firm. However, it was very clear in that the pace of expansion could slow slightly as the cyclical upturn does mature. Hence, that means that the strong expansion we saw in the trade-related sectors last year could ease somewhat this year. And then on the plus side as well, the MAS did maintain that, as we said, those financial and business service sectors could benefit from local and some of the region's growth that we're seeing in the income levels.
Jeff, you're there in Singapore. Could you tell us a little bit about the perception of the Singapore stock market? Is it seen as comparatively expensive to regional peers? And what do you expect, especially in terms of the earnings season ahead in Singapore?
Okay, good question as well. Sorry, of course these are good questions. The Singapore valuations, they're not as stretched as the region, the Southeast Asia region, but you do have to take into account that the region has a developing economy tangent, and that typically across the world will command greater premiums on the valuations. But and also in terms of where Singapore is, yes, we've generated a 5% dividend inclusive return in the year to date, which is 6% more than the actual regional Asia Pacific index. But nonetheless, might point out too that the STI at around these 35-50 levels, it's still off around 8%, 8 to 9% from its peak near 3900 in 2007. So there are other indices, big indices across the world that have taken out their 2007 highs. Singapore is still some 8% below it. And in terms of expectations for the earnings seasons, which is kicked off with the REITs this week, and for the remainder of the week, we have three STI stocks that are also reporting. When you look at the STI as an index, the earnings reports, the current expectations based on everything that's happened to now, is showing that the earnings reports that are due for April and May, they're currently estimated to be higher than they were. Those earnings levels expected to be higher than they were back in April and May last year. And it's by a decent amount, by a percentage amount, which is somewhere around the mid-teens. And much of those consensus estimates, they were revised some time ago with the turn into the calendar year of 2018.
Thank you very much. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.